Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That gets us off to a good start. I love that. Right before we started the show, have a little fun here in the studio with the mics off.
Secret zingers.
And now, we are ready for a beautiful, beautiful Friday. Man, last night when the sun went down was just gorgeous outside. It was gorgeous. It's beautiful. Hopefully today throughout the day can be the same thing. I don't know. I haven't checked the weather. I just know last night it felt really good, and this morning walking out, felt pretty good. It wasn't hot and sticky. Maybe it turns out to be that. But, yes, beautiful, beautiful Friday heading on into the weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. It is The Zone. We head up until 2 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, and Drake. We've got you for the next 4 hours to be a part of the show. You know that, 913-912-4810. The text line to join us to be a part of the show, 913-912-4810. Here's how the show lines up today. We'll hang out with Matt Derrick in the 11 o'clock hour from Chiefs Digest, and we'll talk some, this will be a surprise, some Chiefs football.
Whoa, awesome.
With Matt Derrick, yeah.
I love that stuff.
We're gonna change it up just a little bit with Matt Derrick in with us.
You must have Fat Bear Week when I was gone. A lot of previewing that.
We haven't even talked about. You know what?
I saw his FaceTime on Sound Off.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. We haven't talked about that because on Friday we had him on before Sound Off, and I didn't realize the whole Fat Bear Week and the eating of the salmon and everything of swimming upstream like the salmon of Capistrano. None of that was to my knowledge. It's a Dumb and Dumber.
Okay. I've seen some of that. Quote, I was pretty little.
Never mind.
That's a Nirvana album.
It's Flock, like the salmon of Capistrano. We'll talk with Matt Derrick about Fat Bear Week and also about the Kansas City Chiefs. And OTAs going on, some stories from OTAs, hearing from Justin Reed and hearing from Jawan Taylor and Blaine Gabbert calling Patrick Mahomes maniacal. Comparing him to Tom Brady, they are maniacal. Maniacs, I tell you. You've got competitive prick, and then you've got maniacal. A lot of different ways to describe Patrick Mahomes. I just describe him as the best. Best football player in the world. I am not going to say the universe, because I don't know if there's an awesome football player on Uranus. There might be. Maybe it's in Jupiter, Saturn, whatever it might be. I'm not going to guess that there's going to be no amazing football players that are living there and performing.
Got 3 hours and 51 minutes to get that turned around for the cuts.
Very good. Tonight we got NBA game number 4, Denver in Miami. Game 4, we call it a must-win. It's not literally a must-win for Miami, but it's a must-win. It's not a must-win, but you can't lose it. Down 3-1, heading back to Denver. The ticket prices for the Denver Nuggets game right now for Game 5 in Denver is about $800.
Whew.
If Denver wins tonight, I think those may double.
Yep.
Because it is probably the last home game. If Denver wins tonight, the last home game will be Sunday? They play Sunday? I haven't even looked ahead, to be honest with you, when Game 5 is. Sunday or Monday or whatever. But if they win tonight and go up 3-1, because even if they lose in Game 5, Nuggets are probably going to win in Game 6. So those ticket prices have been skyrocketing. But if they win tonight, it's going to be pretty amazing to see what those ticket prices do.
Monday night, Game 5.
So Monday night, Game 5. Yeah, there you go. So
no NBA Finals game over the weekend is really odd. Like, I understand how the scheduling here is working, but
I think they, when they had 2-3-2, I think they, you would have the Friday, Sunday, or you'd have the one day off between the two in what would be Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the 2-2-1-1-1, you add that extra travel day in there. So, But I kind of wish it was 2-3-2. Therefore, my game six prediction I'd feel better about because, you know, Denver winning at home in game six. But who knows? I mean, Miami just win one more game tonight. That'd be great. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Speaking of ticket prices, we will talk with Ali Trost Martin coming up at noon. Now, that is free. So yes. You don't have to pay anything to be a part of that conversation and to listen into that. That is absolutely 100% given to you, presented to you, no cost to you.
Use promo code ZONE for 100% off the cost to listen to that segment.
Also, if you use promo code ZONE, you can get one for free. But if you get one for free, you also get your second one of equal or lesser value for free.
Now, it is mandatory that you do listen to that. So please do read the fine print.
Yeah, that's true. Or you do have to pay.
Yeah, or you can retroactively just Venmo us $10.
It's a weird, weird thing. But when we have her on coming up at noon, obviously we'll talk some sporting and some current. But Lionel Messi is heading to the United States and joining MLS and joining Inter Miami. And, you know, I'd mentioned the Denver Nuggets and ticket prices. But
yeah.
Have you seen the ticket prices for the Miami FC?
I knew that the rest of the year was sold out, and I know they've picked up about 5 million Instagram followers.
Yeah, they're now the most followed MLS team. They blew by LA after the announcement was made. And Twitter, too. I think Twitter, they're the most followed MLS team since that announcement. But August 20th is the first game expected for Lionel Messi. They are taking on the big bad Wolves of Charlotte. I don't even know if they're the Wolves, but they're taking on Charlotte. That ticket price is now $300 to get in. It will not be $300 when I'm just looking at tickets for less. It will not be $300 when it gets closer to August 20th. That thing's going to be more and more. Assuming he does make his debut there, if it's pushed back or whatever, then, you know, could go up or down. New York, their next game, traveling to New York, the get-in price at Tickets for Less is $480 for that game. When they travel to L.A., the get-in price for Miami v. L.A. is $700 at Tickets for Less right now. If you want to head to Miami to watch Sporting KC take on, or Lauderdale, whatever, take on Miami / Lionel Messi, that'll cost you $300 to get in, plus the travel, unless you're already down there, but it's still going to cost you $300 to get in. And to show the difference of like before and after, Chicago's the closest that a lot of probably Midwest people can go to watch Lionel Messi. That's going to be the closest road trip for the Midwest sort of fans of MLS or fans of Lionel Messi to go watch him play. The ticket prices were about $52 to go to the Miami and the Chicago match that's in October. The get-in price is now $340.
All of those numbers feel a little low, believe it or not.
The Chicago one, I would imagine, will continue to go up and up and up because I think more people will look at it and go, all right, here's the schedule. And if we want to go watch Messi and not have to fly, probably can drive to Chicago, but you're also going to be paying $340 a pop as it is right now. But you want to go watch him in LA? It's going to cost you $700 to get in. Soccer stadiums, pretty much, there's not a bad seat in the house. We're not talking about nosebleeds in the last seat at Jacobs Field when the chain link fence is behind you and there's just nothing but openness, where my dad and I, you know, sat at the first year that Jacobs Field was open and they looked like ants on the field. But we were there in the first year and Griffey hit a home run and that was awesome. And I was scared to death because I turned behind me and there was just a chain link fence stopping you from looking at Cleveland.
Yeah.
And a very, very steep fall to your death.
Staring at your death, and even scarier, Cleveland.
That's right.
You will have a better seat than Jordan Love's mom for any of these games. But
that is right.
But still.
But the get-in, the worst seat in the house, is going to cost you over $700. So just interesting. That's the immediate impact of Messi agreeing to the contract to head to the MLS and Miami as opposed to going to Saudi Arabia. I don't know what those ticket prices would be over in Saudi Arabia.
Don't know.
I don't know many fans that would be traveling there just to watch Lionel Messi play. You could have traveled to Spain to watch him play if you wanted to.
Yep.
But now you're seeing those ticket prices just skyrocket, and I think you'll see more of the Apple TV subscriptions go up because people that may not have had MLS subscriptions, now I want to watch Messi, so I'll be paying for that subscription, whatever it might be. I already have the me personally, but I'm just saying in general, if you don't have it, the Adidas gear for Messi and the Miami jerseys, you know, that'll be out there. But the impact already in the last 24 hours of ticket prices just skyrocketing of what the secondary market is. And it adjusted quickly.
I don't have the all of social media all together here, but for Instagram, Inter Miami is not only the most followed MLS team, they're more followed than any NHL team and any Major League Baseball team and any NFL team. They are the most followed American sports team on Instagram now, going from roughly 1 million to 6.1 million. That was, I think, Front Office Sports did the original math. The Patriots are just under 5. The Cowboys are at 4.5 million. The Yankees are at 3.2. But Inter Miami right now,
they've doubled the Yankees.
They have doubled the Yankees in terms of Instagram followers. And this is something I texted with Allie a little bit last night, you know, getting the schedule lined up for today. And that'll be a fascinating part of the conversation about just, hey, are people ready for this? Because I think Inter Miami has known this. They've been in these conversations forever, right? Messi didn't just show up and said, I want a part of the team.
It's been like the last month and a half when people are talking about, hey, Messi may end up in the MLS, but he'll probably sign for the $1.5 billion in Saudi Arabia.
There have been conversations about it for more than a year to this point. Mike Ryan from the Lebatard Show has been right about this for like a year and a half. His victory lap has been very funny to watch. Because a lot of international soccer reporters, established guys, we kept saying, no, this isn't happening. It's Saudi Arabia or Barca, but it's not the MLS. And now here he is. But I think Ali will certainly have a better actual bits of information on the infrastructure and the fan base and all of that. But I'm thinking now about, like, hey, what if you were a social media intern for Inter Miami at the beginning of the summer? Like, all right, I'm starting in the MLS, and then maybe eventually I'll, you know, keep working my way through sports, maybe get to a bigger soccer club, and we have Messi now? Everyone is watching us now. It is just, there's so many waves of this. I'm really excited to hear Allie explain it much better than we can.
Yep, we'll talk with her coming up at noon, and then Mick Schaefer, will hang out with him, KSHB 41 sports director here on this Friday. Number of conversations we'll get into, but let's start with Frank Clark. And he signs with the Denver Broncos 1 year, $5.5 million. Haven't seen all the details of the contract, if they're out. I haven't seen those. Are they out?
There were some. Yeah, let me go grab those.
Go grab those as we just talk about it, though. If you haven't heard, Frank Clark will not be returning to the Kansas City Chiefs. He will be heading to the Denver Broncos. So that whole conversation about, all right, so are they going to bring back Frank Clark? Are they going to sign a veteran defensive end? Is that somebody like Carlos Dunlap, Melvin Ingram, Yannick Ngakoue, Frank Clark? Is there somebody out there that they can bring back? Chris Jones was on his, I'm going to tweet about Frank Clark every day until you re-sign him. And that lasted 4 days. Then he stopped tweeting about Frank Clark. Maybe that was him just saying, I'm kind of tired of it, too. I tried. I did 4 days, Frank. They didn't sign in those 4 days. I got other things to do, right? I got my own contract to deal with. I got a lot on my mind right now. Obviously, Chris Jones wanted the Shark to return to Kansas City and, quote, finish what they started, which is a really interesting way of phrasing it, because they've won two Super Bowls together. I'm not sure what finishing what they started would be. Typically, that would be, hey, let's finish what we started and go win a Super Bowl. Like, you know, keeping T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow together would be, hey, let's go finish what we started together as a group and win a Super Bowl. Frank Clark and Chris Jones, no longer together in Sac Nation, which... Frank Clark was sort of the president of Sac Nation in the playoffs. That's what he was. And Chris Jones had a big part of that in the dominance he had, whether it resulted in sacks or not. I know people look at the overall sack number and talk about whether that's good enough or not for Chris Jones, even though I think there's a much deeper view of Chris Jones' impact. But There is no more Frank Clark in Kansas City.
That was the first. My first thought when I saw this was we're never going to see playoff Frank Clark again.
Love it. There it is. There it is. I was wondering who would get to the finish line first.
Good job, Trey.
There it is.
Just had to finish what I started.
Bang! 1-2. It's
Broncos country. Let's ride to fourth place.
It's a one-year deal worth, magic words, up to $7.5 million. This is per Schefter. The deal, though, includes, this is the real money you need to know about, includes a $5.5 million guaranteed base salary, $1 million in makeable incentives, and another challenging $1 million in incentives. Now, makeable is a bizarre word to use there. That could be likely to be earned. That could be just beyond likely to be earned. Obviously, last year, he didn't play 17 games. So where were his sack totals and all of that? But a $5.5 million guaranteed base salary, I would have guessed the Chiefs were probably out at that number. Not by a lot, but I think they probably would have drawn their line maybe closer to three, and it's not like they have a lot of flexibility right now. They kind of spent their remaining pocket change on Donovan Smith.
If so there's the what was the way? The not likely to
makeable.
Be makeable and
the, more challenge, another challenging $1 million.
That would be being a part of a team that makes the playoffs.
That's
that would be the more challenging,
the
part,
challenging part.
50% of playing time in a playoff game this year is the more challenging $1 million bonus for Frank Clark, or incentive to get to that $7.5 million total contract. And good on Frank Clark, because I didn't think he would get $5.5 million on the open market. I didn't. The Chiefs certainly weren't going to pay him $5.5 million. In fact, if the news came down that they re-signed Frank Clark for $5.5 million, the response would have been, eh?
Yeah.
Really? Wouldn't you rather take that $5.5 and then spend it somewhere else on somebody that would be a little more effective maybe throughout the season? I mean, you drafted FAU, you signed Omenihu. You've got Karloftis. Dana played pretty well last year. Would you rather have that $5.5 million? Could you take that $5.5 million, package it, and give it to, like, Hopkins or something? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fascinating sort of look at the reaction of Frank Clark, because he is beloved in this town because of the playoffs, while consistently being criticized and one of the people that would be the venom pointed at during the regular season over the last couple of years of issues on this team and misallocating resources in a draft pick, first rounder that you gave up, and then paying $100 million for Frank Clark, and the whole, all right, does, you know, ends justify the means? They've won two Super Bowls, but this was before they won the second Super Bowl, obviously, that we're talking about, it, especially 2 years ago when he wasn't really good at all, but was like $28 million against the cap. I mean, it was just, that was the Chiefs taking their medicine. That was the Chiefs kicking the can down the road and going, we're not kicking it anymore because we don't want to then bite the bullet next year. We're just going to simply hold our nose, take the medicine. Hopefully that spoonful of sugar is a Super Bowl, but we're going to have to do that this year for Frank Clark. And he was the receiving end of a lot of frustration with Chiefs fans about how good or lack thereof Frank Clark was. And now he goes to the Broncos and signs somewhere else, and it is a fascinating sort of reaction of, oh, that sucks. I really wanted Frank Clark back. Damn it. And maybe it's a feel of, I really wanted Frank Clark back as a reserve,
right,
as a rotational piece, not as somebody $28 million against the cap from what he was bringing. And obviously the money changes expectations of what you can bring, but he has been a fan favorite with his comments, with his 2019 AFC Championship game over Tennessee win, in which he was on the field with James Palmer talking about, you can't back up. People said you can't back up what you said. Who? They don't know who I am. Gonna know it when I got this ring on my finger. Like that Frank Clark. The better take your ass back to Cincinnati Frank Clark after the AFC Championship game. That guy, the postseason sacks, all of that, beloved. It's been a really interesting ride for Frank Clark in Kansas City, from the trade to the money to the playoffs to then now heading to Denver to sign. And maybe it's because he signed with Denver. You know,
yeah, that never helps.
If he signed with like Seattle or something, like, yep, you know, good for him. Hey,
go.
Well, I guess he played in Seattle. So if he signed
anywhere in the NFC West, would
signed
be fine
with the Cardinals, like, yes, hey, good job. You know, cool, man.
And it's funny because his legacy will be a really complicated, interesting one. And frankly, no pun intended, I think that over the next several years, the more difficult parts of that conversation will all be smoothed right over by playoff highlights and Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And may we all be so lucky. Like, I don't even think that's a bad thing. Just we're going to remember playoff Frank Clark. And also, as a button for this deal again, Frank Clark will be the seventh highest paid chief against the cap this year. He has a larger cap hit for the Chiefs than he does for the Broncos, just for this upcoming season because of the dead money they had left. Now, that's not real cash. It was already paid. It's prorated and all of that. But his dead cap hit for the Chiefs this year is a little bit under $7.7 million. Depending on where that extra million is, it's five or six and a half in Denver for the deal that could be worth seven and a half. All still less than he's counting against the Chiefs cap this year. But you're right to point out the complexity of it all, because for so long we had talked, and I think the second Super Bowl really does move the needle a little bit. We talked so much about overpaying and paying twice for Frank Clark, right? Because it was the draft pick and that huge contract. And you got production in big moments, but not the kind of consistent production you would expect for a blockbuster trade to say, hey, we are going to get a top 10 at minimum, honestly. A top 10 to top 5, maybe not one of the top 5 guys, but, you know, someone in that 5 to 10 range of edge rushers in football. So we're going to give up the pick. We're going to give this salary allocation to him, and he's going to come be a game wrecker next to one of the up-and-coming, still at the time, best interior pass rushers in football. And that vision never fully landed. And I say that as a really, like, silly kind of nick on the resume that did work in the playoffs. In the playoffs, that was the vision for what this unit was supposed to look like. That was, hey, here's Frank Clark. And so I think it can simultaneously be kind of a complicated legacy for where the regular seasons were kind of disappointing, and also really uncomplicated, because you can reasonably say Frank Clark played, I don't like to play the wouldn't have won without him game, because you start getting down to basically Patrick Mahomes and maybe Travis Kelce. But you can reasonably say Frank Clark played a huge role on two Super Bowl winning teams. Why would I have any vitriol towards that deal? And I think that would be a reasonable place to land.
Frank Clark will have a little bit of the Alex Smith time lapse as we get further and further away from his tenure with the Chiefs. It's more and more appreciated. Alex Smith at the time, when he played, it was not good enough. He's the problem. Captain check down. Find somebody that will push the ball down the field. System quarterback. You're not going to win. The reason you're not winning in the playoffs is because, you know, you don't even give up a touchdown to the Steelers and you still lose. That's the quarterback. They get Patrick Mahomes, and you hear the stories of what Alex Smith did with Mahomes and Alex Smith sort of stabilizing the quarterback position that was just a motley crew of different players coming in and out after Trent Green to get to Alex Smith, and then on into handing the baton, the mantle to Patrick Mahomes, and the Alex Smith injury in Washington, all of that. He has become much more beloved around Kansas City, Alex Smith has, than he was while he played with the Chiefs.
Yep.
And some of that is because there are Super Bowls now with Patrick Mahomes and finding out behind the scenes of what he did in practice and things like that. I wonder, and I do believe Frank Clark's legacy will be of that same sort of arc of frustrations at times while he was playing in the regular season. Appreciation, though, more for Frank Clark at the time because of Super Bowls and playoff performances. And as time passes, it'll be more of remembering the good times and the sacks and the there's blood in the water. It's not what they wanted. It's not what they wanted. Like, that Frank Clark will be remembered a lot, just as very fondly Alex Smith is being remembered. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Pac-12 schools are going to dinner with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And people in the Pac-12 think that they are now getting married. We'll explain next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Allie Trost-Martin at noon. Mick Schaefer after that as we roll along on this Friday edition of the show. 913-912-4810 is the text line to join us to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810, the text line. We'll get into some of those as the show is over. Text says, what time is Jason releasing his lead pipe loser of the week picks today? I haven't given away nearly enough money on the NBA Finals yet. I told you yesterday, fade me. Fade me.
We need that lead pipe loser, though. We need to know what to fade.
Yeah.
What do you like?
I'll. You got to stay tuned to see the bets that are going to lose tonight. See,
if
that's
you
the
want
thing.
Jason's bets in bets, you have to call him at his personal cell phone number,
that's
which is 913.
That's also wrong. That's good.
That's okay. Wrong. I felt better about getting it wrong than I did getting it right.
You have to go with a different area code that isn't 816 either.
I haven't memorized a phone number since I was 11.
But here's the thing about the bets. Like, I haven't hit on a same game parlay yet because I haven't hit all eight legs. I had mentioned yesterday that I had a fun, or maybe it was the day before, that I had like a fun one. And it was like, you know, Jamal Murray to score 30 or more points, Jimmy Butler to score 30 or more points, Jokic to have a triple-double. Like, all of those are part of, like, the same game parlay. But I also had a couple in there that did not hit. So, had I just individually bet those, and you said, hey, Jason, what are you going with? Jamal Murray's going to drop 30 tonight. Jimmy Butler in a game, you know, 1-1, he's going to drop 30 tonight. Jokic is going to have a triple-double. Like, you know, bank on it.
If you could have just built the 2 30-point triple-double parlay,
yeah,
I think you would have been in great shape.
Why didn't anybody else go with that?
He's like, I'll take that and the Michael Porter Jr. over.
Yeah.
No!
Here's my stone-cold lead pipe. Lock of the week, of the month, of the century.
Have you looked to see if the MPJ
Fat Jack, by the way. I love the intro to Fat Jack. That would be the Porter Jr. under.
Have you looked to see if those are significantly different?
Doesn't matter.
I wonder how far the
game one it was 14.5, or was it 15, something like that. Game three was 12.5.
I knew it was still double digits.
Yeah, which
I wonder if that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean it should drop to 8.5, honestly.
Now we're talking about three threes. You know, he could make at least one.
He could.
You're already up to 3 points,
but he didn't in game three. So, have you looked yet? Have you got there to see his?
I do see that Jokic, Murray, and Butler at 20 points each is boosted to +100.
Nice, kind of like fun. That. Go ahead and take that one because that boost on game three came through when they boosted Murray and Butler to +100 for both getting 20 points. So, you know, hopefully you took advantage of that at DraftKings. So.
Player points. We're getting really close. I'm almost there.
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr. is
10.5.
10.5. Yeah, I'll take the under. What's the
even money, by the way? So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, either way. Yeah. Well, not even money, but it's -115.
-115. Same juice on
yes,
either side.
That's right. 913-912-4810. I had mentioned when we went to break that the Pac-12 is they're going to dinner.
Wine and dine, and it's July 9th.
And they are acting like they're getting married.
June 9th.
Yeah.
Did I say it's July?
It's June.
I got scared.
You're fine. The Pac-12 has agreed to a grant of rights deal, which is being viewed as they have now saved the conference. Those four corner schools, Colorado, Arizona, Utah, Arizona State, do they head to the Big 12? Big 12 wants to get to 16, so they've already added schools. We know that the four schools coming in, and they want to add some more schools. Colorado's had talks that were substantive with the Big 12 and Brett Yormark. Brett Yormark and Big 12 officials were in Memphis the other day doing a site visit for potential expansion for, you know, the Memphis Tigers and, you know, football and basketball and whatever. But the grant of rights deal that came down yesterday or, you know, late Wednesday, that's being viewed as the, okay, the Pac-12 is now safe. The Big 12, you can go pound sand. All right, go play in traffic, Big 12, because you're not coming in here and getting any Pac-12 schools. I believe we are witnessing the Pac-12 going through what the Big 12 went through in 2010-11 when Colorado and Nebraska left for the Pac-12 and the Big 10 respectively, and all of these meetings were taking place and everybody was committing in a room. No, we're good. We're committing in here. We are solid. Everybody here, to the face of others, we are about keeping this Big 12 intact with these 10 schools, even with Nebraska and Colorado leaving. The grant of rights, when you look at the details of it, they have verbally agreed to the grant of rights if the TV contract deal is done. When and if. Also, it would have to be satisfactory to the remaining Pac-12 schools for them to then actually sign their name and their school to a grant of rights to give up those TV rights if they were to leave a conference. The Pac-12 has agreed to go to dinner with each other, but they're still discussing, and the agreement is contingent on everybody agreeing what restaurant to go to. Guys, we're all going to go to dinner together. Great, we're all committed. Now let's figure out what restaurant we're going to go to, but we all have to agree on the restaurant we're all going to, and we have to be happy about that, and we won't view a better deal at a better restaurant with another group of people. We're going to stay here, and I promise we're going to dinner with you if we can come to an agreement that it is in the best interest for me to go to said restaurant. And they are publicly, those in the media that are pushing out the talking points of the Pac-12, publicly presenting it as, we have just signed a marriage license. We are now together forever. And when you still have teams, Colorado, saying, we are committed to the Pac-12, but we will do what's in the best interest of Colorado, that's not a we are committed. That is a Chris Rock, a man is only as committed as his options. Whether that being true or not. That's the funny bit that Chris Rock does. These schools are as committed as their options monetarily in the conference they are in. Clemson and Florida State are committed to the ACC because monetarily it would be destructive for them to leave and give up their grant of rights. If they didn't have a grant of rights, they'd be gone. They ain't in the ACC because they love their neighbors. They're in the ACC because they're locked into a contract and they can't leave and give up all the money. This is the Big 12 meetings that were going on, Josh, when everybody was singing Kumbaya, mm-hmm. and then behind the scenes, and then publicly you had then Oklahoma at the time going, well, we're going to do what's best for Oklahoma. And then that then sent a fissure through the foundation of a meeting that just took place when everybody agreed we're all on the same page. And then Joe Castiglione goes, yeah, we're all in it, but we're still going to do what's best for Oklahoma. And as the timeline of everything that took place, and you hear, like, when that happened, that was really A&M and Missouri going, all right, bleep this. We just sat down and everybody was in agreement that we're doing what's best for the Big 12. And then he says, we're still going to do what's best for Oklahoma. All right, done. We're done with this. And Oklahoma does that. Colorado does that. It's that eerie feeling. And good luck to the Pac-12 if they get San Diego State and save their conference.
College realignment is a lot easier when you start from a baseline of assuming that everyone is lying to protect their own best self-interests.
That's right.
Like, that's just the baseline we should all start with. If Saudi Arabia wants to buy Colorado, there's a chance that will happen. Like, mm-hmm. we are witnessing this at every level of sport, all throughout, but especially in college football, the engine driven by college football. You are always going to find these teams that are saying, hey, yes, we are committed to our union here in this conference because, boy, it's scary to be alone. Unless we get a better table at a better restaurant, and then we will be ordering off that menu. That is the default at this point. It's been that way for a while. I think now, and maybe this is just everyone sort of seeing the lights come on over the course of the last decade, there are very, very, very few shadows to left to hide in at this point. These teams are all going to follow the money and job security and what they view as those things continuing for their school, whatever that means. The fact that right now the Big 12 seems like relatively stable, like it's got its feet on the ground, that is a fascinating and nice little development for where we're at this point. We're talking about the Pac-12. Are they going to put their football games on the CW? I mean, that's a bleak thing to say out loud.
ESPN ejected. Like, they are going through negotiations, and ESPN is like, yeah, we're not involved. We're out. Like, what's the network deal you're getting when you're not bidding ESPN against other competitors and networks?
And you want to go ahead and open up your whole conference to streaming or Apple or whatever, you know, whatever the streaming side that wants to hop in is? That's fine, and we're I think the MLS's deal is going to end up making a lot of sense because we are the home for soccer, really, is what we're trying to, certainly American soccer.
And the Pac-12 can't bring in Messi.
That's also very much true. But they can't bring in Messi, and also it's not that one of these places is going to be your home for college football. Mm-hmm. It might be your home for your Pac-12 team, but now you're going to individual teams within one conference as opposed to this idea of we're just going to have everything here under this umbrella. I don't think college football is too big and too fragmented for that. So I don't know what the TV solution is going to be, but as you've already laid out, everyone's keeping their options open until they feel good about their TV deal.
And as we go to break, if you're a team in the Pac-12 and you say, our commissioner decided to hold off in negotiating our deal with ESPN, and the Big 12 jumped in front of us and got a deal done, and now ESPN isn't interested in doing a deal with us, our commissioner got beat to the punch with that, thinking waiting would be the best move. Mm-hmm. Also, the Big 12 is expanding into Mexico, mm-hmm, and having games played in Mexico every year, to now have something called Big 12 Mexico to increase their revenue, mm-hmm, sales, tickets, arenas, footprint, TV deals, ESPN Deportes. That commissioner is thinking that way. Mm-hmm. Your commissioner was like, now let's sit back and let everything come to us. Oh, wait, now we're stuck holding the bag. That's also your choice of what conference to join. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk with Matt Derrick coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. You know, Chad Corey opens doors around here for people. That's what he does. Many people may not know that, or care, actually. Chad Corey actually got my, was able to get me the internship here at Sports Radio 810 back in the year 2000. Because we happen to be fraternity brothers at Northwest Missouri State.
I don't think I ever knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we were fraternity brothers at Northwest Missouri State. I had come home from doing play-by-play of Northwest football game on homecoming. And, you know, as a pledge, we were, you know, required to go and get in conversations with alumni. And the first conversation I walk up to, Chad Corey's there. I don't know his name. He's like, hey, Chad Corey. I'm like, man, how do I know that name? And he's like, well, you know, I'm alumni here. I'm like, I don't know that dude's name over there. How am I going to know alumni's name? That's for sure. I've been a part of this for all of 20 minutes here. I'm like, Chad Corey is like, man. And he's like, well, I work at 810. I'm like, yes, I know. Keatsman makes fun of you all the time.
There it is.
And he's like, oh, you listen? I'm like, yeah, it's the only job I want. It's what I'm doing in radio in college is to work at 810. And he's like, oh, well, I don't know if this is true, but I love the maybe present something as more important than maybe it is. He goes, well, you know, Lebo owes me a favor.
Oh, I love that. So, that's a power move.
Might be able to get you an internship if you want. I'm like, no kidding. You better not be fooling. Don't be jerking my chain.
This actually opens up a really concerning reality because the idea that Lebo keeps track of who he owes favors to, or more importantly, who owes him favors, mm-hmm, that's the most debt I'm in my life, is my favorite debt to Lebo.
And then I annoyed the bleep out of Todd Lebo because that internship wasn't until the next summer. This is homecoming of fall. And I believe some emails that I got from Todd, essentially part of that was, yes, again, we have, you know, this internship. We will reach out when we get closer to that. Okay, you better not be fooling, though. Better not be joshing me. But I bring that up because Nolan and Harrison are here. Apparently, they live in the same neighborhood with Chad Corey, and they're big fans of sports, and they wanted to come by and see the radio station, and they took a picture with Josh and me for some reason. Not sure.
We begged them.
That's right. Please! So he's just opening up doors for everybody. So future sports radio hosts, Nolan and Harrison, hanging out here, walking around.
Oh, yeah. How long do we think we have till I take our jobs?
10 minutes or so.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm going to go get a box.
Yep. Matt Derrick will hang out with Nolan and Harrison coming up in the next segment. So that was cool meeting them. They were very nice.
I did ask them if they know how to push buttons.
Say, just my parents. So, yes, we will talk some Chiefs football.
Hey, that new hire back there looks suspiciously like two little kids stacked up on each other wearing a trench coat. That's weird.
I love the visual now.
Yeah. Just smacking the buttons.
That's how they drove here.
Yeah.
One had the pedals, one had the steering. Slow down! Stop! Acceleration! Go!
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.